your Bibles this evening, your New Testament, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And beginning to read at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This evening we're concentrating specifically on verses 4 through 7. So let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, we come to a very familiar passage of Scripture to most of us here. And for that reason, we need special grace. Because we've spoken it often and we've heard it often. And we need to fix our minds and hearts on the truth that you have for us, which really has daily application and is a daily necessity in our lives. So come and instruct us, Father. We wait upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in times when there's a lot of anxiety. One of the shows that we like watching on television is called Intervention. Have you seen that, where there's an intervention into the lives of some individual who has an addiction problem to drugs or alcohol? And as that program ends, there's a little notice that flashes on the screen, and it says something to the effect that in North America, in our society, the largest percentage of illnesses are really illnesses having to do with anxiety disorders. And the experience, all the experiences and symptoms that that brings into people's lives. Certainly one of the strategies today for anybody who has an idea to sell or whatever is to ratchet up people's anxieties, play on our fears. And then when people are sufficiently concerned, sell your point of view or your idea of reality or your solution or your product or whatever it might be. As followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, of course, live in the midst of all of this, and we're impacted by this. But as believers, we belong to an entirely different reality, one in which we know that the Lord is in control. As we saw in our message this morning for those who were here, God is at work by his divine providence, using means and circumstances to bring about his purposes, to accomplish what he has intends in our lives. And so that's the reality that we belong to as believers. He cares for us. He is near to everyone who follows him, who loves him. And in this passage we read at the end of verse 5, the Lord is near. And verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. That's the reality that we as believers are to live in. But we may find ourselves thinking, surely that's not to be taken entirely literally. It can't be possible, or it can't even be desirable. whoever says don't be anxious about anything must be living in a different paradigm somehow. It must be somebody who doesn't have a care in the world. It must be somebody who is enjoying the best of times. And yet, if you know anything about the book of Philippians, you know that the one who is writing here by the Spirit of God is in fact experiencing anything but the best of times. In chapter 1 alone, the Apostle Paul mentions my chains or my imprisonment four times, just in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, verses 29 to 30, he says to the Philippian believers, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have." They saw him go through these struggles because it was in Philippi that the Apostle Paul and Silas were taken prisoners and beat and bound into the inner prison, remember? God delivered them with an earthquake. And he said, you're going through these same things yourself, and you saw me go through them, and now, as you've heard, I'm still going through these kinds of things. So it's in such circumstances that the Apostle Paul writes in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. I will say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. And he can say that because he knows that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we as believers are secure even in the worst of trials, whatever those trials may be. And I don't know what it is that you're experiencing in your life right now. You don't know about our lives, but whatever it is, we can rely on the Lord that we are secure, even in those experiences. So the Spirit of God through the Apostle wants us to remember, first of all, that the Lord is near, or the Lord is at hand, the end of verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near, or the Lord is at hand. Now, there's a question here in my mind as I read this. Is Paul saying that the Lord's coming is near? Is he basing what he's going to say, don't be anxious about anything, on the fact that the Lord's coming is near and everything will be resolved then? Because he's just talked about that in chapter 3, verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. We are citizens as believers of another kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. It wouldn't be good to assume that all of us are citizens of that kingdom. The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, except a person is born again, that person cannot enter the kingdom of God. And in fact, this very moment, by confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can experience that new birth, a birth into relationship with God, a birth into the kingdom of heaven. And that's where the citizenship of believers are, and we're eagerly awaiting our Savior from there. And the Lord is very near in that sense. His coming is near. We're to anticipate it every day. Is that what Paul means when he says in verse 5, the Lord is near, the Lord is at hand? Or is he really thinking that the Lord is near in his presence? He's always near to us. He's always right here with us. Jesus assured his people while he was with them, his disciples, he assures us, I am with you always to the end of the age. Never will I leave you. never will I forsake you. And so by the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, are closer to us than hands and feet, dwelling, in fact, with our spirit within us, bound together with us by the new birth. Well, I would suggest that it doesn't matter, really, what the Apostle Paul is thinking here, because both in his presence and in his appearing, the Lord Jesus is near. And we're reminded to live in the light of that every moment, that the Lord is near us now, and his appearing, we are to expect at any time he is near in his appearing, we're to live like that. So it's on that basis then, because he is near to us, that we're told in verse 6, do not be anxious about anything. Now, how is this possible even? Do not be anxious about anything. These Philippian believers had quite a bit to be anxious about. For example, in chapter 1 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul speaks about those who oppose you. He speaks about them living without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. I don't have anyone who's eager to drag me off to prison right now or have me whipped in public and bound like Paul and Silas were in Philippi. Just because of my confession of Christ. This is what was a possibility for them daily. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And chapter 4, verse 2, I plead with Euodia, I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. The whole matter of relationships. These are concerns. These are big concerns in life. Not only those who would attack us from within, but relationships or without, but relationships from within the family of believers. Chapter 3 and verse 2. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. Here he's talking about false teachers. The Judaizers, who would teach them that in the by fleshly activity they can gain the kingdom of God. They need to keep all the Old Testament laws and the men be circumcised and as a sign of the covenant and so on. Chapter 4, verse 19, he talks about, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, a reminder of their material needs. So there's many things about which we have cares and anxieties. We care about our lives. We care about our families. We care about our health, about our supply for our daily needs, our future. And can we stop being concerned about these things? And should we, in fact, stop being concerned about them? Well, we must be concerned and responsible and do all we can to provide and protect and to secure ourselves and to secure our families from harm and so on. So what does it mean? Do not be anxious about anything. I find that I need to return to this scripture very often just to remind myself of the security that I have and the peace that is offered to me in Christ. And one recent cause for anxiety for me was what I mentioned this morning in the introduction to my message, my trip last October to Russia in order to teach New Testament studies in Kursk. And as the time was getting close to leave, I was thinking about the fact that I was traveling all by myself and I'd never been there before. I was thinking that I was leaving my family my wife. I was leaving my country, everything familiar to me. And I was going to a strange land that spoke a different language that I didn't know, that I knew nothing of at all. And I was thinking of the travel connections. You know, I knew that I was supposed to go fly from here to there and from here to there, and then I was to be picked up by somebody in a van, and then I was to be taken to train station, and I was to travel overnight by train, and then someone was supposed to meet me in this smaller city of Kursk in the wee hours of the morning in a train, and this was playing over and over in my mind. And I was thinking, what if I get lost? What if I'm missing in Moscow? What if I get lost in Kursk? And I, even though I was dwelling on this passage of Scripture, to ease my mind, I was beginning to lose some sleep over the anxiety, the care, the concern that was building. When we've done our part, when we've done our due diligence, everything within our power, and it's out of our hands, then we may begin to worry in the sense that this passage is talking about. It's like a sore in the mouth or an aching tooth. You can't forget it. You can't quite leave it alone. It's you're worrying it all the time with your tongue, and you're feeling it and you're thinking about it. It's like a fever in the mind. It grips us and it controls us. Anxiety, panic, paralysis begins to set in. That's what it's talking about. That kind of anxiety that gets a hold of us and it just works away on us like a fever, like a toothache, and it won't let us go, and it begins to affect everything in our life. The Spirit by the Apostle says, don't be anxious in this way about anything. But how do we stop that? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. How do we stop it? Let your requests be made known to God. Each anxious thought becomes the springboard. If you like, it becomes the launching pad, the stimulus to bring a request to God. Remember, He is near, and He wants to hear. His ear is always open to our call, and His eyes are always upon us. By prayer and supplication. The word for prayer here is that common word for prayer that we would use as we come to our God in worship. We enter into His presence through prayer. We, in faith, acknowledge that He is there and that we have a relationship with Him, and we enter in and enjoy that relationship. We worship Him. We adore Him there. But also with supplication, with petition, it says. We're to bring requests to Him. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not of, our God says. He wants us to come. We can do it whenever and wherever we happen to be. As we are alone, we can do it, and we ought to do it with brothers and sisters in corporate prayer, whether personal or corporate, with worshipful prayer, with petition-type praying. We are to come with every request, every concern, every need. Turn it into prayer whenever that anxiety springs up, that worry begins to set in. And to do it with thanksgiving. How often we forget to come in thanksgiving to the Lord. We just assume that God is good and that all these blessings are ours from his hand. And so often we forget to just stop and acknowledge what he's done and give him thanks. Thanks for the way that he's opened up through Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again. Thanking him that he cares, that he hears. Thanking him for how he has answered in the past and how he will answer, believing him for the answers that are to come. One of the blessings that I had in the last year was to read the book by Peter Dynica, More Prayer, More Power. And in there he talks a lot about beginning to thank God for the answers to the things that we're still praying for. To thank God for his wisdom. To thank God for his care. For the fact that he will answer in his own wise way. To praise him for those answers even before we see them materialize. 10 lepers were cured by the Lord Jesus, but only one came and returned to give him thanks. If God feeds the birds, and we're so much more precious to him than they are, if he clothes the grass, and we are much more to him than the flowers, surely we ought to give him thanks and to praise his name. In my devotions a couple of days ago, I was reading in Psalm 5. And the last two verses, verses 11 and 12, says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy." And that spoke to me. It rebuked me. How often I just cruise along through life, and sometimes not in a very joyful way. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. I like that imagery. Spread your protection over them. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. That's watch care. And the promise of this passage is that as we let every anxiety become praise, worship, prayer request to God with thanksgiving, that the peace of God, verse 7, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what we just read from the Psalms. Your favor, let your favor surround your people as a shield. And that's sort of the idea here, that God sends his peace to camp. It's sort of like a military term to set a guard around our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Psalm 34:7 says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him." That's kind of how I envision it. Coming to God in this way, instead of being giving over to anxiety, God's promise is that just in that same way, he'll set his guard around my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. It's the peace of God, and it surpasses all understanding. It's longer, deeper, higher than we can ever understand. It's far greater than we can ever explain. And my testimony is that as I was on my way to make this trip to Russia, and then as I was shut away with God there, which I was a lot, because when I wasn't teaching, I was by myself on a campus for a lot of the time and separated by language anyway from individuals. except when I had the translator with me while I was teaching. And shut away with God like that, I found a deeper communion with him and a reliance upon him, an experience of his peace, such as I really have never known before. His peace, which goes beyond the ability to understand, just was like a guard around my heart and my mind. And that's his promise here. It's the peace of God in Christ Jesus. For those of us who confess Jesus as our Lord, our lives are hid with Christ in God, the scripture says. And nothing can molest us there. There's no more secure place. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So at each anxious thought then, says the apostle by the Spirit, remember, the Lord is near. Near in his presence. Near in his appearing. Could be today. And in the knowledge of that reality, let your requests be made known, every anxious thought becoming a springboard to pray, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, and God will protect your emotions, your heart, and your thoughts, your mind, with his peace in Christ Jesus. Just before leaving his disciples to go by way of the cross to pay for our salvation with his own life's blood, Jesus said to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The invitation then is to take every anxious thought to him, and then just to lay right back and rest in his peace. That's his invitation to us this evening. Let's bow together as we have a closing prayer and benediction. Our Father, we live in anxious times, troubled times in our world. And we know from your word that there will be troubled times, even greater troubles than at present. And we know, Father, that you do not promise us that we will be spared from trouble, but really you tell us to expect trouble, but to be of good cheer, because you have overcome the world. And so, Heavenly Father, in this experience of making our way through life, despite the worries, the concerns that come to us, help us to be able to respond to your invitation, and to take every anxious thought, every concern to you, and then just to rest in your peace. A peace that goes beyond our ability to understand. We commit our ways to you, and we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with each one of us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.